Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Corey Crenshaw, and this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave on the Hockey Podcast Network. Welcome back in Sporty Nation. It's nice to be talking to you all again. Once again, Richie is not here. He keeps on leaving us for no good reason. I mean, who really wants to go see a 21 Pilots concert? I'm totally just kidding, Richie. Don't be all mad listening to us, probably on a plane flight home. We're just mad that you keep on leaving us. Bright side, though, is Scotty Farr has joined us again. Sporty Nation, you have him back with probably more of his celery antics. I am not 100% sure what we're in for today, but we're so happy to have you back, and I'm always happy to have you on, because I mean, I've chosen you for my life partner, so if I didn't enjoy having you on, that could be a problem.
That would be a problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show again. I'm excited to be on and talk more hockey and give an update on Richie's adventures and the GoFundMe account and everything like that and how he's kind of faring with all that. Actually, we have not the greatest news on that front.
Oh, yes. What has happened with his salary?
So, Richie hit the ground running in Vegas. Yeah. But when he got to Colorado to spread his celery and love for fiber,
things turned.
He lost his car keys again. His fob. He lost his car fob. I get this is twice. I want to tell people this is like twice in like 3 months. I didn't want to do this, but now Richie is trying to take back the celery he gave out to pay for his car fob. So this is like a double negative. People are now more constipated than before, what he tried to do. And now he can't even drive. We don't even know if Richie's going to be able to get home. So the GoFundMe has now transitioned into help Richie get back home. And like I said, if we get 10 people, we'll give him a shout on Twitter. Donate to the GoFundMe. We'll put Richie in that Kara costume for Halloween.
He's actually really into the idea of the Kara costume. He appreciated the fact that we told him that he would look good in a Kara costume. The funny part is, as much as we may be joking about the celery, we are dead serious that he's lost his fob again. The man has lost his car keys in both Arizona and Colorado now, and he has no way to get home when he flies back. So Kat has been trying to help him with that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, give Kat a shout out for actually trying to help him with his key fob.
Oh my gosh, yes. So she's trying to help him with that, but it involves things being towed and a whole lot of stuff. Scotty and I got Richie something as like a surprise to try and help him not lose his key fob again. So we're actively trying to help him not lose his keys. But he not only lost his main one, but he lost his spare as well. This is a whole nother level of
I think his passion
for celery
is kind of what overtook that, and he wasn't thinking. Probably took a piece of celery out of his pocket and the fob just fell out.
Don't you need to refrigerate celery?
Yeah, but celery is it's pretty dense and dry, so I don't know. I don't know how long celery lasts not in the fridge. That'd be a good question.
There's a lot of water in celery. I know because one time it was in a fridge that was too cold and it froze. And, like, the inside of, like, the water part of the inside in the celery, like, all froze.
That's interesting. I mean, it's funny because we always say Richie's going to wear a carrot costume. I should look up see if there's a celery costume. It would just go better.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you look up a celery costume?
I'll do that later.
What if we got, like, a bunch of people to do it and everyone was just a bunch of different foods? I wore a hot dog one time. I found one at Target, and Kat was wearing a pizza one. So you know, we could do a hot dog, a pizza. We could do one group that is unhealthy and one group that's healthy.
We would essentially be Fruit of the Loom underwear, but vegetables.
Or VeggieTales.
VeggieTales, there we go. VeggieTales, shout out VeggieTales.
But, you know, we could do an unhealthy group and a healthy group. I feel like this could be very entertaining. You know, you got the celery, you got the carrot. Maybe someone could be an apple. Or I feel like an apple's maybe too round. That might. But people were pumpkins for Halloween, you know?
No, I mean, I was a pumpkin for Halloween. But so there's my Richie update for everyone. Key fob is 100% a real thing that happened. So we are going to help Richie try not to lose his keys anymore. But in the meantime, we can talk some hockey that give you some more of my hot takes.
Yeah, actually, one of our friends actively listens to the episodes that Scotty is on, so he can purposefully get infuriated by his hot take, which is hilarious.
You and Richie have your mailbag questions. I got my own mailbag questions. Scott's thoughts. At you later.
We all have little segments, right, that we've created over the years. And, you know, we've came up with Cat's Meow for Cat. I came up with that one. Yours is Scott's Thoughts.
But Scott's Thoughts, THOTS, not THOUGHT.
We're still trying to teach Richie what thoughts means.
Yeah.
And
it's a work in progress.
Yeah. And then, mine was always Corey's Corner. And then... why am I spacing?
Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week, thank you.
Is Richie's.
So, yeah, that's always been our little things that we've done. We always love to come up with the cute, like, marketing names for them. But Scotty's definitely held on to that one kind of tightly. It's kind of like your obsession with, doing Scott's Tots for it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a words on play with Scott's Tots. Shout out The Office for that. But like I said, I will have some thoughts about the Coyotes starting their camp. Preseason's about to start, and maybe we can rag on Vancouver a little bit.
Yeah, that was one thing that I actually put in this rundown for today, because I thought it was a very interesting situation. I was texting Kat actually about it, who has been harassed by Canucks fans one too many times. They can get very aggressive, and they got very aggressive with her a while back. But they were too optimistic, I feel like, on a video of OEL skating that looked absolutely atrocious. A friend of ours on Twitter had actually, like, screenshotted some of the tweets that they had said, and I was like, there is not a point in my life where, and believe me, people usually give us shit all the time for defending the Coyotes in a lot of situations because of the fact that they, you know, they go through a lot of shit. But we try and be as honest as possible. These were to the level of, like, you had to try hard to make them sound good.
So for context, the OEL issue is, it was posts on Twitter of him. They were doing a bag skate, and he was significantly behind the line of guys bag skating. And people were giving him a lot of shit on Twitter. I'd probably say more Coyote fans, probably. But then Vancouver media, Vancouver people were saying how hard he competed before the bag skate and.
Yeah, so here's one. Not the whole story. The harder you worked in the scrimmage and drills before the bag skates, the more tired you're going to be at the end. This proved OEL battled harder today until he had nothing left, and the other rookies were saving their energy to one up him in the bag skate. Who plans for a bag skate?
That's what I was about to say. I played hockey, and especially if you're trying to make a team, you want to show off your skill set. You can shoot, score, hit, grind in the corners, do that. I have never once, personally, or I have never seen other players do it, in the line say, oh, thank God on those 303s, thank God on those 3v3s that I saved my energy and now I'm ready for this bag skate. Like coaches would be like, oh, well, at least he's in good shape, but yeah, he still can't handle the puck, score, or do PK or PP. So.
So rookies that would be trying to show their worth wouldn't be waiting for the bag skate to show how fast they are. That it just doesn't even seem
And
rational.
also for OEL, like, give him the benefit of doubt. Let's say he had a great practice, worked hard, and at the end he was just gassed. He's going into a new team. He still has stuff to prove. He was the captain of the Coyotes, so he has to prove not only that he has leadership skills, he has to show that he has on ice skills, that he has on ice leadership skills. He has a lot to prove in this trade because not only did they take on his ridiculous contract, they gave the Coyotes a first round pick. Plus other players, obviously Garland was included. So to give OEL the easy out and be like, oh, well, he worked hard in practice, it's like this guy is a veteran in the NHL who was a captain in the NHL, who had a lot of promise, has a contract level of a star in the NHL. He needs to be held to a higher standard in that regard. And I hope he does well. I wish him the best. I appreciated all the years he was with the Coyotes, and he stuck out a lot of tough years with the Coyotes. But at the same time, he's at the point of his career where he obviously has to be held accountable for most actions. And for a captain, you can't be almost two, three lines behind guys by the time the end of the bag skate. It just looks bad.
Another one was, you may not be aware, but during a hockey game, players tend to wear down as the game slash season. Ooh, they're even talking about a full season here. Go down. I'm looking forward to watching 97 eat that chump up.
Weird flex.
And the person responded to him with McDavid question mark. He's fast, but OEL knows how to play him. McDavid is only a career plus two against Coyotes. And so now that OEL is on a contender, oh, I think McDavid is going to have a much tougher time scoring against Canucks now that the team is healthy. And then it was screenshotted again that OEL is on a contender, as is a friend of the podcast, Clay Collins, had tweeted this, and he had added to it that the last 4 seasons before the COVID season, where the Canucks had more, or the Coyotes had more points than the Canucks in those seasons, and just show how incredibly close these two teams were for those 4 seasons. You could probably go and see. I had quote tweeted it myself on my Twitter, so you can go see it there. But I just thought that entire thing was hilarious. It proves to me too, and I think this is something that we kind of go back and forth on a little bit, is we always talk about, like the East Coast bias and the Originals bias and all of that stuff. But like, I think we don't ever fully look at the Canadian bias. Like, just because of the fact that he's on a Canadian team doesn't necessarily mean he's magically going to be better, for one. And two, it also doesn't mean that Vancouver is so much magically better than the Coyotes either. It's still like you need to look at it from an actual factual point of view. So it's funny the spin that gets taken on it though.
Yeah, no. And final point on it, I would probably say wish OEL the best. But at the end of the day, you know, even this bag skate, even though it's kind of got blown out of proportion, it's all about his on-ice production. And he is going to have a tough matchup with McDavid. And yeah, you can say old, you know, statistics. He's on a completely different team. He's going to be playing McDavid a hell of a lot more. And it's going to be interesting to see how he matches up with a lot of these players and also how he ends up producing. Because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters for him and Vancouver is how well he's doing. And to say Vancouver's on a contending team, well, I would say, well, where were they last year? I mean, who was it? So many damn Hughes brothers. But one of them even said, like, oh, my brother was on one of the worst teams in the league last year. He deserves to get paid. Forget about those bad stats. So don't tell me he's on a contender now. Like, he's going to have to, he's even going to have it probably harder because there's going to be more pressure on him to perform. So, you know, get, you know, leave an open mind for OEL, but, you know, hold him accountable when shit looks bad.
And he was on a contender in the fact that, you know, that the Coyotes went into the bubble. They went on the Plains playoffs. So, and in those, both of those rounds, he didn't look very good. And so the fact that, and that was part of the problem, was he didn't look the greatest throughout all of that. And his leadership skills were lacking throughout all of that. So I don't think him being on a contending team is necessarily his problem. I always thought one of his biggest problems here was that he was kind of stuck in like a slump of being here in Phoenix. He needed to get out of here. He's gone through a lot, you know, especially after like his mother died and everything. He's been through quite a lot, and it just, he needed a new change of scenery. It just doesn't look good that this is the way that it's starting out. And I think we all wish him the best, because none of us have anything bad really against OEL, like as a person and as a player. We just, you know, it's fool me once, like shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me type of thing. And I just don't think you can go into this thinking that it would magically change overnight. We were hoping for his own sake that it would look better, but I don't see it so far. I really hope he does turn it around, though. I just still think Canucks fans are delusional.
No, I agree. And if I had to place bets on how well he's going to do this year, I think he's going to just continue what occurred with the Coyotes and have his good moments, but he's also going to have his bad moments. So I'm going to bet the under on him being a Norris trophy contender.
I just don't think he'll ever get to the point he was before where, you know, he was a great offensive defenseman. And then I felt like he tried to be more of a defensive defenseman, but he failed at it. And then he lost that offensive edge, and then he became bad at both.
Yeah, I agree.
Trying to find a way back to that, maybe it's him kind of going, and you know, to bring up a nice Keith Yandel part of this again, maybe he should go the Keith Yandel way. Just say screw it, I'm not really a defensive defenseman, go for the offensive side, because that's what he usually excelled at in the beginning of his career, and just try and focus on that, so at least he's an asset on one side.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's going to have a lot to prove, and obviously it doesn't look good now, but, you know, he will have he's going to have a hell of a lot better team around him now than what the Coyotes are currently at. You know, the Coyotes are going to be bad for a little bit, so it's a better situation for him. It's a better situation for the Coyotes. Both went their separate ways, and we'll see how it goes in the future. But I, like I said, I would not bet on him being a Norris-level defenseman or anything close to that, in my opinion. But we will see.
But we would love to see Chychrun as a,
as a
talk for Norris, because of the fact that I do feel bad considering the fact that he will be one of the core players kind of moving forward here. You know, we'd already kind of talked about him, like, as a, you know, as a possible captain choice. And so the fact that he's going to be having to deal with this team not being very good when he's, you know, really last season, we started to see him hitting his strides. We'd kind of pushed for him to be a Norris contender this last season because of the fact that it just looked really great. And I think there was a lot of things that didn't go his direction with that. And I think there was a few different biases, but then there was a few things that they were considering more than others. And a lot of it had to do with the team, the fact that the team wasn't the greatest team, and the other guys that were they're looking at for Norris were on better teams, so it made their stats look a little bit better. That's not going to change for him as this time goes on, because it's going to take years for this team to be good. So I would like to see him back in that point eventually, but he's going to have to really be able to suffer and grow with this team through those
Yeah,
years.
Trickering will not be a Norris talk just because of the team level, probably, and the East Coast bias level. I'll say that. Definitely East Coast bias. But Trickering will, it's kind of going to where we want to talk about is the core group of Coyotes. Who are the Coyotes building around? And right now, that's Trickering, Keller, Schmaltz, probably not Phil Kessel. My guess is they'll eventually probably trade him. Christian Fisher, a lot of a small group to build around, and I know they have some young guys like the goalie Prosvetov, but it's going to be interesting to see how much of that core stays with the Coyotes as years go on. Adding in Scott's thoughts, that's what my good friend Marcus wanted to talk about, was kind of that core, and specifically with Schmaltz and stuff. I agree that they should have kept Dvorak, and if there's a player they probably should have moved on from, it was Schmaltz, because him and Keller are exactly the same player, and they do the exact same stuff, and they really do not produce enough as they should to be able to stay on a core team. Dvorak is a center that, yeah, his worth was a lot, and that's why they trade him, was just because the worth, and I doubt Schmaltz would ever bring a first rounder. But at the same time, when you look at that core, there's really only one guy I want to build around, that's Chychrun. And you need at least a better core to build around. And it's kind of like we talked about last episode on last weekend is, how are these Bill Armstrong picks going to transition into that core? Because he's going to need to at least hit on like five players to really look good and have a decent core to build around. And then he could sign free agents and stuff. But with the current core they have now from the previous years, I don't think it looks that great. I think eventually Schmaltz or Keller, the Coyotes, are going to have to walk away from just because they're too similar of the same player and they just both don't produce enough. It'd be one thing if you had two Patrick Kanes on the same team, but you have two kind of average Kanes on the same team. So,
I could see him being thrown in a package deal at a later date.
yeah, maybe with Phil Kessel, actually.
That's kind of what I feel like more from him, that he's part of a package deal, like where they're really looking for a certain player, but he sweetens the deal type of a situation. I think what you said about the fact that he couldn't have gotten what they were looking out of for him is the reason why he wasn't. Dvorak was worth more and was probably easier in the talks to of what Armstrong was looking at, because Armstrong has a very definitive vision where he's going with this team and what he wants draft pick wise. And so what he was trying to do was very obvious to everyone. They have an obscene amount of second round draft picks next year, and he is putting so many eggs in that next year draft class basket. I can't even tell you how many times we've talked about it, how many times we've talked about the fact that, that one is supposed to be a big one. It's supposed to be one that is going to be properly scouted because of the fact that, everything is supposed to go like normally season-wise. And so he's putting a lot of eggs in that basket for the future of this team, and he wasn't looking for later rounds. He was literally just looking for first and early to mid second rounders, and he just couldn't have gotten any of that for Schmaltz. And I think that's a large reason why. And I can genuinely see him being in a package deal later on if it meant that Armstrong could get more picks, because he really is trying to make this team, And it's funny, every single time I say this, I have these crazy flashbacks to like 5 years ago whenever I say he's trying to make this a very young team that can grow and get really good. And there's a little bit of PTSD that comes into that, you know, like in the fact that we've talked about rebuilds so often that it does freak you out a little bit to say like, oh, this is the way that it's going to go. But it feels different this time. There's a strategy I feel like that's in place and that is rooted in a real passion for scouting. And I feel like that one's different in this one.
Well, and I also don't think in most Coyotes history have they ever done a full rebuild, completely scratch a team, bunch of picks to pick from. I don't think that's really ever happened in Coyotes history. So, and I think this is something they needed. They've been around for 2+ decades with really not much to show for it except for a Western Conference Finals appearance, which is nice, but like, there's teams that have been just powerhouses for a long time. I mean, you could look at Boston. They only won one Stanley Cup during their time, but at least they're in the playoffs consistently. Same with, you know, Tampa Bay. You know, they've been in consistently, and look how long it took them to win 2 Stanley Cups. They were good plenty of years before that. They just couldn't get over that hump. This gives Coyotes finally a chance to build a really talented young team, and then as years progress, add free agents, sign players to win a Stanley Cup, and then to build upon that for future Stanley Cups rather than, okay, we're going to do another partial rebuild. We got a couple first-rounders in a second. Let's just get a couple guys, but we're going to keep 60 to 70% of the team and build around that. It hasn't worked for the Coyotes, so I'm happy, to be honest, as a Coyotes fan for as long as I have been, I'm happy that we're finally trying something different and new. And even though I have no idea most of the people who are at the camp that just started for the Coyotes now, I am excited, you know, for years to come what this team will evolve. And most of the guys on the team now won't be a part of the team because a lot of them were signed for those short year deals to just tank on salary for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Another thing I was going to, like, that Richie and I talked about last episode that I kind of wanted to bring up with you is you have been here since the days of, you know, basically having to drive 45 minutes to get to a rink. And now they're talking about having in Tempe, obviously Oceanside, which has always been there. They revamped that to make that NCAA level. And then, you know, ASU's new arena. And then now with the renderings that we have of the new Coyotes arena that would be there. How does that make you feel as someone who has been here, like, you know, playing hockey your entire life here and seeing that, you know, they have a practice rink in there? I don't know how that would be utilized, if they will, you know, allow anyone to really use that ice or anything. But I feel like it's a big deal. It's a lot of, obviously, we have over, like, I think 10 rinks now in the Valley. So there's a lot of growth here, but it's kind of cool that Tempe is going to be a little bit of like a little mecca of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is needed. You know, people like to give Arizona shit for, oh, they need to move the team and move on from it. Yet USA Hockey has Arizona in one of the top tiers for growth and potential growth and demographics for hockey. So hockey's actually pretty big here in Arizona, but people like to believe otherwise. But building those rinks just allows more people to play hockey, which is exactly what's needed in Arizona. And I think people will be able to use the, I mean, hell, even with the Coyotes' current stadium, high school hockey plays there all the time. I played there before, and my guess is the same will be with this Tempe stadium, and they have the practice sheet that they'll also be able to sell to teams. You know, when I played club hockey for ASU, we played in Denver, and we played on Denver's practice sheet, not their main sheet. So again, it allows them to build more revenue with those practice sheets.
I mean, you got a dislocated shoulder right before playing in Vegas, so you didn't actually get to play on the ice. But T-Mobile there, your team was the first college game to be played on that ice.
Yeah, so it brings excitement to the sport. And I think, you know, with Tempe, hopefully that gets approved. Obviously there's some smoothing out that needs to get done, but it just brings more excitement to hockey and more fans to hockey. It'll bring more revenue for the Coyotes. And it's an exciting time to be a part of hockey in Arizona. You know, I was lucky to play for about 20 years here, and it was fun and exciting. But when I played, there was a few rinks in each main location, and even then it was still kind of growing pretty exponentially. But now with how many rinks there are, and you could go play for ASU club, you can come back and play NCAA, they'll have a cool Coyotes arena. Like, there's so much cool stuff with hockey right now in Arizona that it's one of the places not only to live and be, but if you're a travel hockey team, a college hockey team, professional hockey team, coming to play in Arizona against teams will be a blast. You get this amazing weather, you get to play competitive hockey, you'll get all this exposure that, you know, I've played in the East Coast many times, and it's really cool and very extremely cold, but it's so different coming to Arizona, which is not traditionally a hockey place, and being like, oh, wow, like, the weather's perfect, there's palm trees everywhere, like, this is an awesome place to play like a tournament in or whatever. So I think it will look good for the Coyotes if they can get this arena deal done, which has some little barriers, I guess I would say.
Yeah, Richie and I kind of like touched on it slightly, and there's been even more that's come out about it. But, you know, there's so many things that they're going to have to look at with this, and they're going to have to deal with FAA on, and then Sky Harbor, and try and figure it out, because a large bit of the problem is the fact that if they ever want to extend that runway, and with its proximity, and it's in it's in the landing path, so that is going to be its own thing. I'm really hoping that they do. One of the things that was talked about was a 140 foot tall apartment complex, and it was said that no one was willing to really budge on that. I hope those things will actually be kind of more flexible, because of the fact that, you know, the arena itself I don't think will cause a lot of problems. It was funny, one of the things that one of the representatives for Sky Harbor had said something about fireworks. It's not like D-backs where they're shooting off fireworks all the on Friday nights, you know, which in itself is in the flight path of like coming in. You still have to fly past it.
Well, not even just that, but think about all the business buildings. Look at State Farm's buildings. That's a massive company building that's kind of near where the Coyotes want to build. So I think Sky Harbor and the FAA and
Southwest, I think, has chimed in as well.
They're probably going to have some pushback, but when it comes to money, money talks, and I can't imagine them holding this up unless it truly imposed a massive, like, difficulty, like, where they would be like, people's lives are at stake here. And from the general understanding that I have from this is it more than likely won't be an issue, but it is something they're going to have to figure out. And like I said, if the Coyotes don't build there, I guarantee you they're still going to build business buildings, apartment buildings, whatever. And it wouldn't make sense just to say no to the Coyotes, but be like, oh yeah, JP Morgan Chase, come build your, you know, 100 story, like something that probably not 100 stories. I lie. That was so exaggerated. But like, go build your building here, you know. I just don't see like the difference, and hopefully, you know, that doesn't become too much of a problem.
Well, and it was funny. I was actually talking to a few different people about it, and some people that are kind of like in the know about it, and they were like, think about all of the places that you've landed that have so many buildings, so many things surrounding the airport. One of them being San Diego. When you fly into San Diego, it's just like you're going through buildings, and airport. You know, and so this is, of course, going to make headlines, and it's going to be going back and forth with everyone, and they're going to make their little fuss about it, just like there's red tape in everything. But I think if there is room for flexibility in there and some of those taller buildings and that type of stuff, I think it's going to work out, honestly, because in the end, it's going to be something that I think will be so beneficial to Tempe, and
it'll be beneficial in a lot of ways, especially with how like it'll be paid for. You know, it shouldn't be put on much as the city, like Glendale had to take on a lot. Granted, when the recession hit, that created a lot of problems. That's a whole nother discussion. But like, just there's so many benefits to that being built, not just for the Coyotes, but for, you know, Arizona as a state, the city of Tempe. Like, there would just be a lot of cool things to do. And that's the best thing Arizona can do, is just attract people, but then also attract NHL talent to want to live here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing, I don't think that we've like actually like talked about with it, but someone who would be a massive benefactor from it, and we can give the university shit because we graduated from that university, is ASU. ASU finds a way to benefit off of other things without having to like put anything in it, you know? ASU, I mean, I guess they could be one of the people that, you know, invest in this whole thing, but that would be, I think that would be amazing to throw to trying to get people to come to ASU as, you know, as we're trying to recruit people, not just for like teams, but to come to their school.
Well, yeah, and for the Coyotes, they would attract so much more of a younger demographic. Think about the college town, how many people would be like, oh, sure, I'll just go to a Coyotes game. It's right next to my dorm, you know, like.
Yeah, you just walk down, as it's the same thing as if you were to go to Wells Fargo, or if you were to go to Sun Devil Stadium as well. You know, it's just that's why you have a lot of those people. And we always like make jokes about the fact that everyone leaves to go to Mill at like halftime, but like it's all so much in proximity to each other that it's so easy for a lot of, you know, a lot of them to go and do that. And it will bring in a lot, I think, of a young crowd. And I think, too, with the businesses around there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my first choice was downtown for the Coyotes, because I feel like having your sports teams in the heart of the state is kind of a good thing. It's perfect for everyone to get there. But I would say Tempe is the next best. It's close to Scottsdale. A lot of rich popping families out in Scottsdale. It's close to ASU. You get a younger demographic showing up. It's right off Tempe Town Lake. There's going to be a bunch of restaurants, bars, all built within. You know, Westgate is really nice for what it was, but it being so far out for a lot of people, and like, you know, like I said, for a college student, oh, drive 30 plus minutes to Westgate and 30 plus minutes back, take a less than 5 minute Uber to, yeah, probably like 2 minute Uber to the arena in Tempe. Like, so there's a lot of cool things, and as a Coyotes fan, I'm really excited for it, and I hope this arena gets approved and the Coyotes can stay. They're gonna have to figure out their arena issues for the next few years, which will be challenging in
to
itself,
say the least.
To say the least. So it'll be interesting, and the on-ice product's probably not gonna be the best, so at least for these next few years. So, you know,
but imagine being one of those people that works in one of those big ass buildings down there, and then you're just like, oh, I'm tired, I'm gonna get off work, and I'm just gonna walk over to a game.
They need to figure out the traffic down there too, because the traffic's already sucks in Tempe. And with all those business buildings, my last year at ASU, I'd be stuck in traffic just getting out, because all the workers from State Farm and all these other buildings are leaving at the exact same time. So like, there are a lot of challenges along with this, you know, with parking and stuff like that. If they can figure that out effectively, especially with how the Cardinals have the football team here, have their parking, if they can figure that out effectively, I think they'll have, the location will be perfect, right off Tempe Town Lake. It'll be pretty cool, but
maybe they could throw some shuttles in there, you know, kind of like, we had like shuttles between campuses. Like, you know, my major was in downtown, but I had classes in Tempe, and then they would shuttle you back and forth, so you didn't have to be like driving everywhere. You could park one location. That would be a kind of a good idea. And then I think, you know, the light rail.
That's what I was about to say. Does the light rail go through Tempe? If that's the case, there's another way of transporting people, because you need to have the arena be accessible to multiple people, you know, not just people in Tempe.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, one of those things that they just have to figure out some of those things. But I think in the end, it's going to be really smart and quite a good investment for everyone. So I hope it ends up working out and that, you know, the red tape doesn't get in the way, because that'll just be frustrating. But before we get out of all of this, a couple little other things. The Coyotes are now back with AZ Sports, so you will be able to listen to them over on that this year. They are also going to be having their first preseason game tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday, against the Kings. And then Wednesday against the Ducks, and again against the Ducks on Saturday. Before we go, Scotty, you told me that you had some parlays that you were doing for football. We're recording this on Saturday, so for football tomorrow on Sunday, what are they?
Well, as I talked to my friends about this, no one has won a parlay yet, except with the free money parlays that are like easy to win. So the sports gambling has gone. We have the sports gambling bug, and we haven't stopped, because we're going to do some more sports betting parlays. So tomorrow or Sunday for NFL football.
And to interrupt, before you finish that, you have to listen to our quick ad about DraftKings, because of the fact that we want you to use code THPN, and then we will let you listen to Scotty's parlays. Sporty Nation, if you haven't gotten into sports betting here in Arizona, now that it is legal, you have to get into it, and you have to download DraftKings. You can head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any game this week, any NFL game this week, to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If it is not available in your state, if you're listening outside of here in Arizona, DraftKings has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes on their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
So as I was saying with my sports betting, I'm going a lot with, the underdogs in this one. I picked the Falcons, with their spread, the Chargers with their spread, the Rams. I actually went with Richie's team. I think they're going to beat, the Buccaneers, or at least, lose within 1.5, but it is in LA. So I'm going with that. And the fourth team, I can't even remember, because I have bet too many times on DraftKings, because I have another parlay. I bet on the Giants and Falcons game just because it looked interesting. Their matchup looked interesting. That'd be high scoring. So did some parlays through DraftKings, and hopefully I'm going to continue my start a new win streak, because I started off hot. So gambling, it's fun, especially you get to mingle with all your friends and talk about which bets you're doing. It's been a blast ever since Arizona has officially gone legal with it.
Yeah, I haven't done any quite yet. I've gotten more into the live betting, which is, I don't know if it's more dangerous or more prosperous, to be honest with you, because of the fact that I like to be able to see what's going on and then be able to change accordingly. And I was telling you guys this when we were watching the Thursday night game, because of the fact that, what was it, within the first, 5 minutes.
The Carolina Panthers game. Yeah, they busted all our parlays because McCaffrey got injured.
There it was. And so I said, okay, use that information to make a live bet. Figure out something off of that. And that's what I really enjoy doing, is using that information that, like, you know, when shit has hit the fan, where, as a team who is in crisis, what are you going to do to try and fix it and make up for it? And that's what I love to try and predict. It's so much more fun to me. So I've been kind of doing that lately as kind of an addicting thing. I'll probably still find, like, one to put, like, either a boosted or, like, a promoted.
That's
or...
why I love DraftKings, is, like, there's so many different bets you can do. Like, even if you don't even care about the game or the score of the game, you can bet on individual players, you can bet on fumbles, touchdowns. You know, there's just so many things expanding on the live bet that makes it pretty cool. Not just, you don't have to just do parlays, you can just bet on your favorite player. So it's the... been addicting, but a lot of fun, you know, making good money with friends and talking about each other's parlays and bets, and it's brought a lot of excitement.
Your friends got very disappointed because I didn't have anything down on that Thursday game. I just, I was busy and didn't even think about it. And when you guys lost your parlay so quickly, you know, no one was a fan of either team. So both of you guys... or all of you guys were basically just like, oh, I have no interest in this game anymore. I have no fantasy interest, and I have no betting interest. And so it hit, like, a point where you guys were just like, yeah, I don't really want to do anything. So then you guys went into that live one, and you guys were all of a sudden back in it again.
Yeah, no, it's, we start off disappointed. We still ended disappointed, but we at least got to enjoy the game more because we got to play some live bets and, you know, not even just the football game, betted on the Phoenix Mercury game, one of us, and got to watch some WNBA, and it was a blast.
Yeah, so let us know on our sporty socials where you are putting your bets this week, this weekend. You know, we just love to hear where everyone's kind of throwing it at. Thank you again, Scotty, for joining us in Richie's absence while he is...
abstinence.
Abstinence.
Abstinence from having car keys.
Yes, and being able to drive his car. We may never let him down, let him live this down.
Yeah, we will keep everyone with Sporty updated if Richie can get home back to his house, his apartment, you know, if he can somehow get his car keys. Luckily, Kat's helping him, but unfortunately, his mission of preventing constipation has taken a brief pause. It's a little backed up.
As you say, he got constipated.
His car's got a little constipated. Sorry, Richie. You're a good sport about it.
Yeah, hopefully Richie will laugh at this episode just as much as he did the last time we did it. You know, we harass the person that couldn't make it on the episode. I still don't think it's ever been as bad as when you guys said that I had, like, explosive diarrhea or something like that. So, can't ever really get worse. But I thank you all for listening, as always. Go and talk to us on all of our socials. We will be talking to you again on Thursday, and Richie will be back for that one because, again, he's here for the weeks. He's just gone on the weekends. And then we will have Scotty back one more time because Richie has to go see a Rams game in person. We may be able to share another funny story after that one, though. He's got a flight that is literally right after the game. He may not make it to the airport in time. So we may have another story for you guys. But until then, good night and good hockey, everybody.